Well, welcome back to our podcast. I'm here with Jerry Wyant, and my name is Jim Hughes, and this is the Gospel According to Jesus. Jerry, I'm so excited about this message. As we get into this message, we're going to learn a lot. I know we're going to share some testimonies, but I want to open up with a couple of scriptures. This is my favorite scripture. I write this when I send somebody a note. I usually sign off with this scripture, Jeremiah 33:3, and the Lord says, "Call unto me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things that you do not know." Jesus is talking about a demon in Mark 9:29, said, "This kind only comes out by prayer." In 1 Samuel 1:10-11, starts out, this is Hannah. She's greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. Verse 11, and she made a vow and said, "Lord of armies, if you will indeed look at the affliction of your bondservant and remember me and not forget your bondservant, but will give your bondservant a son." So she's crying out to God, and God grants her that prayer. And I know we move through this message today, this wonderful message about prayer. We're going to talk about some prayers that God has answered for both of us. We need to remember our theme scripture is, behold, it's Amos 8:11, and says, "Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord God, and I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but rather the hearing of the words of the Lord." So today we're going to look at our fifth in a series of discipleship messages on hearing God. This message, Jerry, is so important because we talked about in the last couple of messages about reading the Bible, getting a Bible that you can understand, and talked about how many, so blessed with so many different versions of the Bible out there that it's not hard to find something, but you need to find something. You need to read God's word. You need to open up your heart to hear what the word of the Lord says to you through God's word. And as you do that, God will speak with you and fellowship with you. Jerry, in this series of messages, we're going to deal with relationship with the Father. And today we're going to talk about prayer. We also want to talk about probably the next one. We'll be talking about the still small voice, but today we're going to be talking about prayer. And it's really about listening to God, listening to what God says to you, and know that God listens to you when you're speaking to him. And this is really fellowship with God. This is what God desires. This is why we were created. This is why we are where we are today. A couple of scriptures in Genesis 2, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may freely eat, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For on the day that you eat from it, you will certainly die." This is a story, an actual happening of God fellowshipping with Adam and Eve. They're talking, and then that's really what we want to get through today. And in Genesis 3, we have another part of that. It says, "Now they heard the sound of the Lord," talking about Adam and Eve. "Now they heard the sound of the Lord, God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." So this really tells us that the Lord was coming down, fellowshipping with Adam and Eve. And these two scriptures depict that fellowship, that God desires fellowship with us, and he desires fellowship with you and all those that are listening today. This is the most important thing that you need to understand about a relationship with the Father, is that he desires to fellowship with you. Amen? I mean, he desires to speak with you. I don't know about you. That's awesome. You know, I think about myself and I think about who I am and my significance or insignificance on this earth. And to know that God wants to speak with me and to know that God wants to fellowship with me is powerful. It blows me away every time I think about it. But this is fellowship. This is what God wants from us. So God would come in the cool of the day and fellowship with Adam and Eve, and he wants to come in the cool of the day and fellowship with you. Genesis 3 only describes one encounter, but there's many, many encounters in the scripture. You see, folks, God created us for communion, for fellowship, to speak with you and me, and to talk with us, and to know what's going on in your heart, and for you to reach out to him. And it's powerful. And so today we're going to kind of go through a number of different types of prayer. The first is we're going to talk about the instructions on prayer. And 1 Timothy 2:1, it says, "First of all, then," this is Paul speaking to Timothy, "I urge that requests, prayers, and intercession and thanksgiving be made in behalf of all people, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil," now listen to this, One of the reasons that we pray, one of the reasons that God wants us to pray, and that we pray for kings and that we pray for people in authority so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. The New English Version, it says, first of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. Same scripture, King James Version. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. The New American Standard Bible. First of all, then, I urge that requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all people. So that's powerful. That's awesome. We're seeing a number of different translations of that same scripture, but the crux of it is God wants us to pray. God wants us to intercede. God wants us to reach out to him. So Jerry, what are some things that you think about when you think about this scripture in Timothy 2:1?
Jim, two things that really stand out in prayer and how God answers them. And you're so spot on. He cares about everything we do. I was going through a real, real rough time. I didn't know at times who was watching my children. I was working 12-hour days and shift work and nights. And I didn't know oftentimes where my little kids were. The mother had left. It was a tough time for me. I went through a period of healing. The pressures got so strong on me that I was broke. So I cried out to God on the way home one day that I was beat. And I just asked God, I said, God, I need a wife and I need a mom. And I gave him a real quick list of what I wanted in the woman. And the very time that I was driving, because I had a long drive, it was an hour and a half to get from where I worked to where I got home. And I was almost to my house. So when I was praying, there was a couple in Victoria that had just sat down to dinner. And when I prayed, they began talking about me and Nancy, a co-worker of hers. The fellow I worked with was talking about me, and God put it in their heart that we should go out on a blind date. So I got home. I went through my normal routine, trying to get everybody taken care of, asleep, so forth and so on. Went to work the next morning, and this was my fourth day of days, which is the last shift, and then you get a weekend off if anybody's familiar with shift work. I walk in to the laboratory that I was working at the time. The fellow who had received this note from God walked in and says, Jerry said, there's a girl my wife knows, and we believe that you and she need to go out on a blind date. And I still had this residual, I wasn't real crazy about women at the time, but here I prayed to God. And here someone comes with an answer within less than 24 hours later. And I took her out. And when she came out, the blind date, when she showed up, God spoke to me, that's going to be your next wife. And we went through several things. She was in a denomination that I wasn't crazy about. But she came to my church. She gave her life to Jesus. And we were married 3 months later. And we've been married now for 31 years, and it's been an awesome marriage. But God cares about our prayers. And my next prayer was, my wife wanted a baby. Now I'm in my, I think, early 40s, and my wife is wanting a baby. And I'm kind of like, well, I've raised enough babies. But she was home, and I was working shift work again. I was in the night shift, and I sat down to eat my lunch, as if they call it, late in the evening. My wife had a friend over, her name was Pat Tipton, and Pat Tipton asked Nancy what was on her heart, what her desires were, and she said, Pat, she said, I want to have a baby, but I don't think Jerry is interested. So Pat took her hands and they prayed, and Pat requested God speak to me when it was time for them to have a baby. I'm sitting there eating lunch and I'm reading in my Bible, and I read the part where Elizabeth was visiting Mary and John leaped in her womb. And God spoke to me right there, almost of audible command, it's time to have a baby. And I thought, gee, I rebuked that thought. But it came again. It said, it's time to have a baby. And I said, okay, Lord. And we went home and we had a daughter 9 months later. So do you think God cares? God took care of me. And then he took care of my wife. What a blessing it is when you know he listens to your needs and your wants.
Yeah, that's a powerful testimony. And that goes along with our next week's message about that still small voice and listening to that still small voice. But today, as we talk about prayer, speaking with God, fellowshipping with God, there are a number of different types of prayer, and it talks about those in 1 Timothy 2. And the first one, Paul describes supplication. And I really believe, Jerry, that's really what you were doing when you praying about your wife, about the future of a helpmate that would be with you for the rest of your life. And supplication is really specific requests or requests within a certain situation. And I think the example that you just gave is spot on. Really, dear God, please help my husband find a job or in that same vein. And this is what happened to me when I prayed that supplication type of prayer. And I remember my dad, who I had prayed for a long time, and he developed a problem with his heart. So I got a call from my brother. They rushed my dad to the hospital, and they actually were going to life flight him. But the roads were so bad, it was during the winter. They live in Arkansas. My brother said, you need to get on a plane and get here as quick as you can. When my brother called me, he said the doctor's telling him it doesn't look good, that there's something really major wrong. And my dad was fighting it, didn't want to do what the doctor said that he needed to do. And what had happened was his aorta had torn away from the top of his heart. And so it had burst, and then it had clotted. And so the reason he was even standing was because it had clotted. He was giving the doctor and the nurse a hard time, because he felt fine even after he was in the hospital and he wanted to leave. And the doctor came in. My brother said he was about, 5'1". My dad was 6'7", about 240 pounds, pretty good sized guy. He says this 5'1" doctor walked in and said, Mr. Hughes, if I don't get in your chest within 20 minutes, you're going to die. My dad said, okay, well, let's do it. And so he went into surgery, and he was in surgery a long time, and he had smoked cigarettes ever since he was 13. And at this point, he was 60, 61. I got there, and this hospital was so cool. It was Baptist Medical in Little Rock, and it had a chapel, and chapel workers would come in and pray with you and sit down with you and agree with you. It was really powerful. But as my brother and I were sitting there, and the nurse came in and said that they needed to talk to us, and the doctor and the nurse took us to the side and said that it didn't look good for my dad, that we needed to call my other brothers and sisters because they didn't think he was going to make it. One of his lungs had collapsed, and he wasn't breathing very well on the other one, and just was pretty grave. My brother and I went back into that little chapel, and we started praying, and God gave me Hebrews 9:27. And Jerry, you know that scripture. It's been appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And it's like, okay, this is it. This is what's going to happen. Dad, this is his time. He's going to die. And so I just grabbed my brother's hands, and we started praying, and I asked God to give him some more time. We both agreed and cried out to God, please give him some more time to hear the gospel. No sooner than we got done with that prayer, God placed in my heart that still small voice that you were talking about, Exodus 32:14. And I'm not going to go into this because it's a pretty long story, but the whole story is about the Exodus when Moses is on the mount and God has given him the Ten Commandments. And then God basically says, Moses, this people that you've brought out of Egypt are basically disobeying me. It's funny how God said it was Moses's people, and Moses kept saying, this is your people. And Moses said, basically God said to Moses, step aside. I'm going to destroy this people and raise up a people unto you. And for the first time we see in history, the scripture where a man asks God if he needs to repent. And that's Exodus 32:14. And basically Moses says to God, do you need to repent? And that's in the King James Version. And it really what it means literally is, do you need to change your mind about this thing that you're getting ready to do? And God basically checks himself and says, okay, I'm going to change my mind. I'm not going to destroy this people. And really we see for the first time, Jerry, where a man is interceding to God and basically is saying, God, change your mind about this situation. And I felt like that's what had happened to me and my brother Sean as we were praying for my dad. And Jerry, no longer than I spoke that to my brother, that whole story of Exodus 32:14, within 5 minutes, a nurse came in and got us and said, hey, the doctor wants you in your dad's room. He's conscious. His lung is inflated. They're going to take the tube out of his throat. And this happened in about 20, 25 minutes. where they told us that it was bad, call your family, get them here, to, hey, your dad's awake, they're pulling the tube, his lung is now reinflated. And that was powerful. That was a powerful thing that happened to us. And that's really the prayer of supplication. And there are other prayers, the general prayer of just a general word referring to all types of prayers that we make throughout our day, requests, adorations, praise, confessions. Then there's intercession. And this word suggests a more intimate relationship with God. It's a pleading or a begging of God without restraint. And Jerry, you and I have been the presence of true intercessors and people that just cry out to God, and there's a groaning that goes off on the inside of them. I've had times when I've got into intercession, but it's not something that I do every day. But there are people that are called to that, and it's that groaning, that crying out to God. And we see that in Romans 8:27, also in Acts 2:38. And then there's the prayer of thanksgiving, which this is gratitude. It's the first of the heavenly virtues. Ingratitude, on the other hand, is the first step that leads to total ungodliness. Thanksgiving cultivates this gratitude towards God, and God, and that pleases the heart of God. Gratitude for what God provides enables us to enjoy our blessings without guilt. And then who to pray for? That's really up to you. I mean, there's people, there's things, there's circumstances coming to your mind right now as Jerry shared that testimony, and I shared the testimony about God answering our prayer. It's about family. It's about your friends. You can pray for politicians. You can pray for our countries. But the thing you need to focus on more than anything else is that you need to focus on that this is fellowshipping with God, God's desire to fellowship with you. You find that inner room, that place that is between you and the Father, and you just reach out to him. Just like you are hearing my voice and you're hearing Jerry's voice, you just talk to him. You speak to him. There are things that we need to get answers for, and a lot of times we don't know how to get those answers, and you just cry out to God. It doesn't have to be a certain posture or building or whatever. It just needs to be you speaking to God. Matthew 6:5-7, Jesus is speaking, and he says, when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they will be seen by people. Truly I say to you, now listen to this, truly I say to you, this is Jesus speaking, they have their reward in full. What is their reward? Well, people are seeing them. They're saying, wow, isn't that guy spiritual or isn't that girl spiritual? But he says, truly I say to you, they have their reward. But as for you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to the Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use thoughtless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of the many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need even before you ask him. Praying the same thing over and over and over, and just repetition, isn't the way to the Father's heart. It's really finding that inner room, that place between you and the Father, just like Jerry did. It was on the job. It was out there when he was working. That inner place for me was at that chapel in Little Rock. It just happened to be the place I was. And I just spoke out to God. Jerry just spoke out to God. And that's really what we're talking about today, is just speaking out to God, wanting to him to hear you and you to hear him. That right there is going to bring an everlasting relationship with the Father. Don't pray a certain way, but do pray a certain way. And it's clear from God in the flesh. Amen. Jerry, what do you think about all that? That's pretty powerful stuff, huh?
Yes, it is. And I urge everyone that's listening to us, pray. Pray. Let God know your desires, your heart, your need. He already knows your needs. He's waiting for you to talk to him about them. But don't miss an opportunity. Get into a mode where you pray every day and then listen. Listen to what he says, what he wants you to do in every situation, and you'll be blessed.
Amen. Well, we're going to sign off and we're going to give you our email address, but we want to encourage you. As you pray, God's going to open doors for you. And one of the things that he desires for you to do, and he doesn't have to tell you every day, is go out and minister to people the gospel message, that message that's going to change the hearts of men, that message that's going to transform people from where they are to where God wants them to be. And God will do that if you'll just put yourself in that position. And we'd love to hear from you. My email is jimhughes71@hotmail.com. And Jerry?
PETL, praise the Lord, Wyant, WYANT@AOL.com.
We'd love to hear from you. Until next time, God bless. Bye-bye.